one quick question, and I want to hear the answer to this question too from you, Corey. In these older patients that you're following, if any of them say to you, "Is there anything I can do to, maybe enhance my own immunity or do something to fight the cancer?" Do you just say, "Well, just eat a healthy diet," or is anything, any little pet suggestions you have that you think that might help?
Not really. Nothing scientifically you can support. There was a very famous article in New York Times a while ago. I don't know whether you remember reading this. And there was a gentleman who was told that he had metastatic lung cancer, decided to go and live in Italy, and then got better. There are five areas in the world. These are areas where you have the highest number of 90-year-olds in the world. And one of them is in Italy. The other one is in Costa Rica. The third one is in Okinawa in Japan. The fourth one is Loma Linda in Los Angeles. And the
This
fifth
patient
one
just went
is
to go live there?
live there. And then the fifth one is Icaria in Greece. So there are five places. These are called blue zones. The blue zones are the places where the highest concentration of 90 years old. So what
Wow.
do they have in common? They have something in common. They have a very laid-back lifestyle, much like what Neil has. And so they actually have, they get up in the
I come in
morning
here this morning
and
talking about breast cancer.
they get up in the morning, they sit outside, they have a very leisurely breakfast, and they go and work in the yard, and they have a midday nap, and then the afternoon they have a glass of wine, they socialize. And so apparently these places have that kind of a communal living to some extent, have a relaxed lifestyle. The long way of saying that stress is not good for any of us, and stress is known to have in many different ways. If any advice I'll give is, if possible, minimize stress and eat a healthy diet, and that's
They
all.
have Mediterranean diets, probably too,
Mediterranean
which I
diet,
think is
perhaps.
important.
That's true, Mediterranean diet.
And there are studies as well, particularly in the elderly, independent of cancer, that show that those who are not reclusive, that those who are involved in communities do tend to live longer, and that married couples tend to live longer. So this whole notion of socialization, and you sort of point that out. She's very active in her church. She really has a lot to live for. She's not shut. She's made a conscious decision to forego active cancer treatment. She certainly hasn't made any conscious decision to forego life.
No, she says she
And
wants to live, but she doesn't want to live as
with
long as
the
possible with
complication.
compromise.
And fortunately, fate has shined kindly on her. That's not usually the case. She's lucky. This whole notion of spontaneous regressions of tumors, it's been observed, but not too often in lung cancer, much more commonly, at least in the distant past, in renal cell and in melanoma. And melanoma, intriguingly, of course, is probably the most responsive tumor to immunotherapy. So it was that notion that really underscored the initial immunotherapy approaches, long predating the checkpoint inhibitors, the PD-1 and PD-L1 inhibitors. I wonder about her localized response. There could be a fairly mundane explanation as well. There might have been atelectasis or some
Well, I looked at
component
the
of
scans. This is a very central tumor.
Central tumor
Yeah,
that.
I was actually wondering if it could have been the biopsy itself that generated immune response, because that's the only tumor that's responded.
There are preclinical data looking at, well, certainly at radiation, but also at radiofrequency ablation, other interventions that may be correlated with neoantigen release and perhaps some stimulation in the immune system. So it's conceivable, but again, she is
She's
truly
very lucky.
fortunate.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of curious, though, to echo what Govindan brought out. Do you have patients who you watch and wait and go a couple of years?
Perhaps not as many as Govindan.
Mm-hmm.
A few, certainly they've made a contract. We've discussed the pros and cons. We usually make a deal that we'll survey the tumor by scans at regular intervals, at 3 or 4 month intervals. If it starts to grow, or if they develop symptoms, will they rediscuss the notion of getting systemic therapy? And I certainly have had a few patients who've gone a year or 2 years or 3 years. I can't think of anybody who's gone 5 years or 7 years without treatment whatsoever, unless it's a very small sort of peripheral nodules that have no secondary symptoms.
Just talk about a healthy lifestyle. I just had a patient, this is not lung cancer, he had a hepatoma diagnosed 3 years ago. He was an alcoholic, tobacco abuse, had a massive stroke when he saw me. Of course, with three large liver lesions, a massive stroke, hemiparesis, we didn't do anything. We put him on hospice. 2 years later, sister called me. "Well, my brother has been on hospice for 2 years. What do you want me to do about him? He really wanted to visit his family in Ohio. Hospice wouldn't let him travel." I said, "Well, first take him off hospice, bring him in, I'm going to scan him." So I scan him. His hepatoma mostly has regressed. And he certainly does not have the healthy lifestyle. You know,
he's he's continuing to smoke and drink.
Here's, I was actually going to ask you about this patient, but now I'm going to ask you about this. And I don't even know, you wonder, I know there's interest in looking at people with extraordinary responses, but maybe there ought to be more looking at cases like this and studying more, not just their tumor or whatever. But that's what I was going to ask you, Pat. Now I'm going to ask you about both. Is there anything that she does, any kind of complementary thing? Does she take supplements, anything?
No, and she would tell me she's not doing anything she's never done before. And I actually wanted to backtrack a little on something Govindan said. When I do see a patient with a large tumor that's an incidental finding, and she was not really symptomatic, her cough could have been anything, you know, smoking and bronchitis, that occurs to me they may be indolent. I think this thing must have been there a while before I met them, and I just happened to catch it midstream. So it didn't surprise me the first few visits when she continued to do well. But, you know, obviously she's still gone beyond the mean. But so it does occur to me these people may have indolent tumors. And also older folks may have more indolent tumors. Some people think there's something about their metabolism. Everything is a little slower. So they may be more inclined to do better than others.
Any clues with your hepatoma patient?
No, this is another thing related to the diet issues. You know, my husband treats brain tumors. His longest living GBM patient, 8 years out. He always tells the story to all the patients when they ask him about diet. This guy has a very particular diet. He eats 8 Twinkies a day.
8 Twinkies?
He drinks 2 liters 7-Up a day. So if you ask him, if he blogs, you would say Twinkie and 7-Up are the cure for GBM.
Now,
he certainly does not have a low-sugar diet.
I want to comment a little bit about tumor burden. I agree. I think if you see somebody has very large tumors, fairly large tumor burden, but it's asymptomatic or relatively asymptomatic, that's prima facie evidence that the tumors probably are relatively indolent. To have that degree of cancer burden without symptoms implies at least a slow growth.